not all of us will get to be great fathers to little ones, but I'm always going to be a father until my last breath. And so even when my kids are in their 20s, even when they're in their 30s, yes, I won't be wiping their bums, hopefully, but I'll still be giving them guidance. I'll still be an influence. I'll still be...
Sure.
And so for me, it's about learning. It's always about, am I doing the best I know how?
Hi, my name is Kgabo Legora, and you are tuned into Son of a Son. My guest today is Bongani Bengwa, a South African legend in the broadcast scene. This conversation was really, really inspiring for me. I hope you guys dig it. Let's go. Hello, great people. Today, I am sitting across probably one of South Africa's major broadcasters, Bongani Bengwa. Am I saying it correctly?
Yes, yes.
Man, I'm really honored to be sitting where I'm sitting right now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is Son of a Son. I created this podcast. I had the idea some time ago because I was passionate about fatherhood. But I got the honor or the opportunity to talk to you via Prime Media 702. Because they say you're a dad as well. How's that been, bro?
Fatherhood is... firstly, thank you for having me. Yeah. It's an honor on my part to be part of this. Fatherhood has been the single greatest honor of my life. It's also, and I know this sounds like, you know, the cliche that everybody throws at you, it really has been the hardest job that I've ever tried.
Mm.
Because
that's an important word, tried.
It is also the thing for which I have felt the least prepared.
Mm.
It is the thing for which I was socialized to think I could do with the least amount of thinking or preparation. Men just have kids. You know, if your partner wants to have a kid, sure, let's have a kid.
Mm.
But the thinking and the planning that goes into what that actually means is not something men are taught to contend with. Really, in most best case scenarios, until the baby's here. Yeah, sure, you help, particularly if there's a woman in your life, you help her get through the pregnancy. I get that. But for the most part, men don't think about fatherhood until there's a baby or a person in front of you.
Yeah.
And even then, it's a slow process. We take years to be given the sense that we are actually finally in charge of a human life. And so we're not expected to be prepared.
Yeah. So do you feel like, did you plan? Like, did you try prepare for when you had... your child?
I'm a man in this society. It was, let's have a baby. I think in the case of my daughter, in fact, the conversation went as casually as, you're not on your pill. Ah, sure, nothing will happen.
Oh, damn.
And of course, something did happen.
Yes.
Here she is 10 years later. I mean, that's the kind of thing many men will relate to because... It's one of the most consequential things you can do in your life, and yet nobody expects you to be prepared for it.
So now, fast forward 10 years later, how do you feel like, okay, I've gotten the whole, I'm getting the hang of this thing?
I don't know if you can ever say that. What I will tell you is that I have been a single father since the time she was about 3 months old, we split up.
Wow.
And I've been the primary caregiver since that time.
Mm.
So the conversation goes from nothing will happen, then she's here, and then, suddenly she's all mine, to look after and to raise. So I used to be the kind of guy who would say, and I thought I was doing well, the baby's crying. Do you think I should change the nappy? Do you think she's hungry?
Yeah.
What would you like me to do, honey? And I thought, I'm on top of it. I'm involved. I'm interested. I'm engaged.
Mm-hmm.
As if she had read some manual that I you know, that was forbidden for me to read, as if there was some kind of instinct that she had that I didn't necessarily have. And of course, now I've learned, you know, you figure these things out through the process of elimination, and that there's really, outside of breast milk, there is no obvious advantage that a mother should have that a father doesn't have.
You're actually reminding me, like, when I had my firstborn son, my father was actually shocked at how proactive I was with helping. Helping is not the best word to use. Being there, raising my child with my wife.
But you're expected to help. That's exactly what it is.
Exactly. But you're right in saying that you didn't have a manual, but you got the process of elimination. It's like, if she can't do this, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I think even when my father saw me doing all these things, it's like, what's happening here, bro?
Yeah.
Like, and I could understand his context, but I think, like, when he saw that, his question was like, why didn't I do this? And that was the question that he sat with. And he was like, yeah, I should have done this. There's nothing that would have stopped me from doing this.
Yeah.
You know, your daughter, how's that been, bro? How's your journey been with her?
So raising sons and raising daughters, those are like two podcasts on their own there, right? I mean, it's been interesting. I think that the bond between a father and a daughter is a very special one, much like a mother and a son obviously is too. But I think the biggest lesson is to also understand that she's still different from how I am. I'm a male, and there are things that... And it may be to do with socialization. It may be to do with the specific individuals concerned. I'm not sure. But there are still things that, even though I've been the big figure, the big parental figure in her life, she is still negotiating. So we are now negotiating, pre-puberty and the changes that she's experiencing and how she's beginning to see the world. And I have always been proud of the fact that for most of the 10 years that she's been alive, I've been the first to know. I'm now slowly adjusting to the fact that going forward, at least for quite a time, I might be the last to know.
So does that, do you ever feel like you're incapable, like, as she's going through all of that? I mean, like, I have daughters as well. And like, when I think of like when they're going to experience like puberty and all of that stuff, I'm like, yeah, I need to kind of like prepare myself to, how am I going to respond to that? Like, how's that been for you? I mean, like, it's not like you don't have the reference of, you know, a woman. You can only give her this perspective from what you know.
Look, I do think that obviously I take my parenting very seriously, but I'm also comforted by the fact that because of the things that we know that our parents didn't know, didn't do. I'm also careful not to put unreasonable expectations either on myself or on my children.
Sure.
And what that means is the biggest thing I can give them is a foundation of love, a foundation of confidence, a foundation maybe even of assertiveness. I will not be a perfect parent. Hopefully, you know, they will be better parents than I was.
Sure.
But I will have my own flaws. I will have things for which they might need to see a therapist. Yeah, I don't know. The question I need to wrestle with at the end of the day is, did I do the best I knew how to do? And did they experience my parenting as somebody who was doing the best he knew how? And if those questions are settled with a yes, I'm happy.
Man. Like, I'm really inspired by what you just said, because sometimes it feels as though not a lot of men think that deeply about that role. Like, what are you saying? What are you doing? How are you processing what's coming up in your child's life? And what role do you play in that? And I think, like, for the fact that you have that level of intentionality, for me, I sit here having this discussion with another man that thinks the same way. It's really, really inspiring. But I wanted to, like, kind of like get a bit of the context of where your, what your story is. Like, how is your upbringing with your dad? Like, you compared to your dad, how's your fathering versus his?
I liked my dad. My dad was, I almost have to be drunk or high. I mean, not that I've ever been high, but I imagine what being high would be, to be close to the kind of man my father was. He was larger than life. He was bubbly. He filled a room. Mm. He was the kind of person you could have a conversation with and time would disappear. He was the guy who could really talk with kings and paupers.
Sure.
Quite literally. I remember a trip we had come from, we were in the rural Transkei in the Eastern Cape. We had gone, I think, to Port St. John's or one of those areas. We'd come from a beach and we're driving past a village. He drove a Mercedes-Benz, the latest and best at the time. He was a lawyer. And we drove past a village where there was a msebenzi, a function, gathering.
Yeah.
And people were sitting around, a group of men were sitting around, drinking traditional beer. My father stopped the car, got out, sat with these men, and struck up a conversation. And about 20, 30 minutes later, got back into the car and we drove off.
What did you think when you saw that?
Yet, my father wasn't there. When I was 21 years old and I was a student, he lived in PE at the time. Mm. And I remember being on a shoot for a TV program I was doing at the time. And I remember saying casually to the director as we landed in PE that my father lived in this city. And since the time I was 7, I had only seen him 3 times.
Between 7 and 21.
So I had this experience of, that's why I call it a kind of high, because I had this experience of this larger than life personality who suddenly wasn't there any longer. So I grew up with a fantasy. I grew up with a myth of what could have been.
Mm.
My father was one of the smartest people I'd ever met.
Sure.
And yet he wasn't there. He made choices in his life that took him away from his children, took him away from his family. And the lesson I learned about my father was to understand that we're all imperfect beings. And that's why, as a parent, I've also learned that it's not about me. Right? It's about this person you have brought into this world who had no choice in this relationship. To some degree, as a man or as a parent, you have some control about whether you want to have kids or not.
Yes.
The kid has no choice. The kid is just there.
Yes.
So the relationship, and this is why I don't have a lot of angst, it's not about me. It's about them.
Yes.
Because despite my father's absence, there was enough in my times with him to still give me this hero that I remember. For all the wrong choices he made in his life that were consequential for us, for him and for me. And so you ask about how I parent differently compared to him. I think the thing that I'm aware of more than anything else is that it's not about me. So for example, I have a 23-year-old. I hate to use the word stepson.
Yeah.
I adopted him. And he's much more mine in terms of his personality and his interests and his outlook.
Sure.
Raising a stepchild versus a biological child underscores the point that I'm making, that it's not about you. Mm. Being a parent is about the child. When you raise someone who's got options, because your kids are your kids, but when your child has to negotiate whether they accept your discipline or authority, because actually, you're not my dad.
Sure.
You have to grow up. You have to always be the adult in the room. You have to wear the big panties. It's not about you. It's about, have I created enough of a healthy environment for this person to understand I'm only doing my best?
And I think that's, sometimes the stats are around, like, you know, kids in homes and all of these things are a bit shocking at times. And it's like, I think just that fear of, like, I'm willingly bringing someone into my space and in my home that I'm choosing to be responsible for, that doesn't necessarily have to be here, that at a certain age they can choose and acknowledge that you are not my sole caregiver or the original caregiver or what my biological whatever. And I think, man, kudos to you. Like, I honestly, you just inspired me even more just with that, because my wife and I have thought so much about adoption in the sense that, like, you're right, it's not about us. You know, you think about the next child that doesn't have a parent and you think about what happens to them. And I think, like, just with this, with the amount of selflessness that we could just push ourselves to sit in, what could we do for another child?
Here's the other thing, though. When you don't center yourself in your parenting, so when you don't bring things like, you know, these are my values, this is my house, these are my rules, it's about me, you learn to deal with who's in front of you.
Yes.
So if you have more than one child, you'll know they may have different personalities. Yes. They may have different interests.
Yeah.
But if it's about you, you'll never negotiate those subtleties because it's one size fits all.
Mm.
But if you're open to the idea that you are just helping another human being figure out what it means to live in this world who has no means or resources or experience or knowledge to do it without you, you begin then to negotiate a world in which whether the child is your flesh and blood in terms of your genes or somebody you've decided to take an active part in their upbringing, all of those things don't matter. It's about the person that you are responding to,
100%.
That you actually have the honor of witnessing grow up into their own fullness.
Said it so good. Said it so well. And you know, at the height of what we're experiencing in our country, like, how's it been for you contextually with your daughter now? Like, I'm sure I only imagine that at 10 years old, a little girl right now in our country has a lot of questions, has a lot of fears. Like, how's that been for you as a dad?
I think it's a frightening thing to contemplate. At 10 years old, they're still children.
Yes.
I have been privileged enough to be able to provide a sheltered life for my child. But there are already things that you worry about. You worry about your child every time they're not in your care. You worry about your child when they are with extended family members, when if you are no longer with the other parent, what happens in the other home? You worry about your child when they want to go and sleep over at a friend's house, and you do calculations like, how many other males are in that house? Is there a father? Is there an uncle? Is there a brother?
Yes.
You are a little bit more assured when your daughter wants to sleep over at a house where there's a single mother with only daughters. You think, okay, that might be okay. So these are things to negotiate. These are things to grapple with. I have worked hard at being the house where everybody wants to visit, because that's easier, because then it means I'm there.
Yes.
But I know I won't always be able to control that. And again, the biggest thing to provide is that safety net, that space that says, even if my worst fears were to come true, do you have a place to run back to? That's, I think, far more important than thinking your kid will always be safe. I don't know if that's possible.
I mean, like, in one of the other recordings, I remembered saying that, like, just even with my daughters, like, they will get to, I can instill whatever values I can create the safe space that I can, but they will make their own choices one day. And you're right in saying that as long as they have that safety net that they can come back to and feel like I'm home, then you've kind of done your job.
Absolutely. I mean, we can't keep the world, we can't make the world what it isn't.
Yes.
You know, we can't make the world the way we would like it to be. It is what it is.
Yeah,
I agree. And I keep emphasizing the point of, how do you help this human being navigate the reality in which we all exist. That's the best you can do. You can't reinvent the world.
100%, man. So there's a common question that I ask any of the men that we record with is, the biggest question that we're sitting with at the moment is, how do we better ourselves as men so that we could raise better kids?
I don't know if there's a simple answer to that. I don't know if there is. You've acknowledged that even with your own father, the learning hasn't stopped, right? Mm. By observing you with your kids, it has raised questions in his mind about things he might have done better. Perhaps your father wasn't necessarily a great father to little kids, but he can still be a great father to an adult man.
So true.
And it's a learning process. Maybe not all of us will get to be great fathers to little ones, but I'm always going to be a father until my last breath. And so even when my kids are in their 20s, even when they're in their 30s, yes, I won't be wiping their bums, hopefully, but I'll still be giving them guidance. I'll still be an influence. I'll still be.
Sure.
And so for me, it's about learning. It's always about, am I doing the best I know how?
But you actually, like, I got a bit emotional there, because I realized that just even with my own relationship with my father, is that in my toddler stage or teenage state, it wasn't as great as what it is now. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think it's just being able to celebrate that and acknowledge the fact that it's okay. Like, it's okay, not okay, but, you know, it'll get better.
Remember, if you take the definition of doing the best you know how, it isn't necessarily what I might want. It isn't necessarily what you might want. But if we have the same father, that father, can we say honestly he's doing the best he knows how? So what he knows today and what he knows tomorrow will not necessarily be the same thing. And that's what we've got to be okay with, both as fathers and as sons. We've got to be okay with everyone doing the best that they have the knowledge to do. And it sounds like a simple thing, but it's layered in many ways. Because ultimately, the real lesson about all of this is, you want the story that is told about you to be one your children will be proud of.
Yes.
It's really that simple.
Yes.
You will make your mistakes. You will hopefully learn from your mistakes. You may make choices that may have lasting consequences for your kids. Even then, it may be okay if they know you did the best you knew how to do.
Amazing, man. Bongani, thank you so much, bro, for your time. Thank you so much for your stories. And that's it, folks.
Son of a Son, a podcast about how being better men can help us raise better kids. Hashtag Son of a Son.
This is a POC podcast.
Powered by Blue Blood.